about, okay, I had notes here. Grace, your osteoporosis report, did that come in?
Yeah, I have it. I have it in my spine. And then I have osteopenia.
Do you have osteo?
I have osteopenia in my Penia. Hips, but osteoporosis in my spine.
Super.
So the question that we were asking the last time was, can you really improve your bone density?
I have been meaning to look that up, but since our last talk, I have not. I don't know. In general, I do most of the things that, you know, supposedly you're supposed to do for it, right? The only thing I don't do is take calcium. Do we talk about that?
You mentioned that, yeah.
But, yeah, because calcium binds me up.
But the thing is, doesn't it take 30 years to rebuild bones? Or
Probably. I guess I really do need to look it up. You know, it's funny because my mom has osteoporosis too. And she, like during the pandemic, she found out that she had a fracture in her spine. And I apparently, like, that's what can happen. You can fracture it and not even really know it, but just eventually get the pain from it, you know?
Wow.
That is crazy.
I mean, when I broke my arm, the doctor said that, right here, you know, the doctor said the bone looked like cornflakes. So that was the first inkling I had that maybe things were not great. Yeah.
But I just always thought, what's the point of learning that? Because you can't fix it, can you?
Well, there is a drug for osteoporosis. I think my mom had taken that and maybe still does. I don't know. But like they have this measurement, they say, based on all these factors, they say you're 16%. You have a 16% likelihood of having a fracture based on these things, right? And when you reach 20%, generally, that's when, at least my doctor said, they would prescribe something.
Hmm. But can it turn it around, really, realistically?
I don't know. Got to look it up.
Okay. So you have
or at least keep you stable.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know.
And then the other thing we had was the recommitment event.
Oh, yes. It was beautiful, Walt. I wish you'd been there.
Okay, well, here is, and Bailey is part of this, oddly enough.
Yeah.
Here is the real takeaway from my reunion. Because the only people I saw were the people I went with, you know, because there was no one else on the list of attendees that I was even remotely interested in seeing, you know. And out of 1,000 people, I think maybe 80 said they were going. But anyway, so I was at this event, and the person that I was with and her daughter, she is very involved in the Alumni Association, right, in D.C. So some of the U of R alumni folks came over to where we were sitting and said, oh, we want to introduce you to someone, blah, 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 blah. And I look up, and they're introducing her to this very old, very good friend of mine. I was in her wedding. You know, I used to babysit her son, blah, blah, blah. And I looked up and I'm like, oh my God, Chris, Grace Lazara. And so we caught up for like an hour and a half. It was really fun. And we were talking and she said, you know, tonight you're probably busy, but I'm going to go see some music. And she goes, I think it might be someone that you worked with who's playing. And she said, Valerie, you know, Valerie always was, do you remember that, Walt?
Yeah.
Yeah, she was always in a band, and so she was going to see her band, and she goes, and I'm going with someone else. Do you know Bailey? And I said, well, I've just been doing a podcast with her for 3 years.
And she went, oh, that's you?
Yeah, she goes, that was you? Because I guess she only listened to one, so apparently, you know, I wasn't obnoxious enough in that episode for her to realize it was me.
It was also, we don't have our last names on it, so it's just Grace.
So that was really funny. And
well, I don't think she put it together just because it's not like, you know, Grace and I hang out every weekend. So she just didn't put it together. So, Walt, I met Chris in a prenatal yoga class 26 years ago.
Wow.
When I was pregnant with the girls and she was pregnant with her son, Ben. Wow. So, and then we were in a playgroup together, and then we've been friends all these years. So it was just funny when I found out that Grace was in her wedding. I had no idea.
Beyond coincidence.
Well, mm-hmm.
Yeah, that was fun. And I told her, because she's one of these people that would understand this. Not everyone would understand this. I said, I have dreams about you. Because I have a tendency to do that. If there's a friend, someone in my life who, you know, I've like, you know, I'm apart from for whatever reason, you know, and if there's someone that I really miss, I'll dream about them all the time, you know. So I've had several dreams about her, you know, trying to get back in touch or whatever. So, you know.
There you go.
How many people do you dream about like that?
Well, there was my friend Nadere from, who's in New York now, I went to college with. And now that we're back in touch, I don't dream about her anymore. So that's good. And Chris and, well, old boyfriends sometimes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I do that too.
It's typical to dream about some people, but I wouldn't think most people dream about a lot of people.
Well, I don't know if it's a lot. Maybe, you know, maybe I was mischaracterizing it. So, but probably the person I dream of most or have dreamed of most was David Duchovny.
No. So. You know, while we're on the subject of old friends, Chuck ran into a friend that we spent a lot of time with when my kids, when Rachel and Jess were little, and who I also met through Chris Thompson.
Oh.
Who was in this, she was in another yoga class with Chris. So we'd known each other for, you know, pretty closely for a number of years. And then we just sort of, you know, like what happens, you fall apart. Right. So,
yeah.
So Chuck ran into her a couple of weeks ago, and they exchanged phone numbers, and we ended up going and having a beer with her the other night. And it was kind of trippy because I haven't seen her in like 15 years. And we've been living in the same town, and, you know, her kids are the same age as mine. And it was just interesting.
I mean, it's like a physical feeling when you are, you know, when that reconnection happens.
Mm-hmm.
Like I remember the first time I really felt that was with my cousins, because when my grandmother died, we hadn't seen each other, most of us, for like 20 years. And just being with them again, you know, it's like this physical thing.
Mm-hmm.
And at first I thought it was just because it was family, but that has since happened to me. You know, like I felt that way with Chris, like it just, you know, this kind of high of reconnecting. And
yeah, it's funny how that happens, how your lives just kind of go in different directions when you're still close and you're still seeing each other. And all of a sudden, did you move back to Buffalo, Chris? Grace, you moved to Did you move to Buffalo and then your relationship kind of just quieted down?
No, I remember what happened. I was, you know, Chris had become a mom and I was not a mom. I didn't quite understand how all consuming that is. And I was kind of still, and honestly, I think I've said this before, I feel like I didn't really grow up until I was about 40 years old, you know? So I was still in my, like, single phase of, like, talking about guys and shit, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I think she was like, yeah, I got better things to do. And, and
guys and shit? That's,
pardon?
Guys and shit?
And shit, yes. Two things. That
wow.
And so, you know, that was when we diverged, you know, and I always felt like it was kind of my fault, really, because, again, I was just wrapped up in baloney, you know.
No, you were just a different part of your life. I mean, that's not baloney.
Yeah, but I also hadn't been medicated for depression yet. So that was a real turning point in my life, honestly.
I missed that, Grace. What was that? I heard you say you were wrapped up in baloney.
Oh, baloney.
Jesus, Walt.
That's a really good image, isn't it?
Guys and shit and baloney.
Do you know my brother used to collect baloney rinds when he was a child? You know how kids are really weird? And I remember my mother went in his room once, was cleaning under his bed, and there were all these baloney rinds.
Like all these dry, yeah.
Remember there was that red stuff around baloney?
Yeah, like the casing. Yeah,
he collected baloney, the baloney rinds. I keep misreading things. Like, we got a new chair of one of our departments, and someone wrote a press release about it, and it said he was one of his expertise is in exposures, right? Like epidemiological exposures or whatever. And I said his expertise is in explosives. I'm like, what?
You're gonna say exposure, like?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
No. Like he's a streaker.
So speaking of motherhood, how's Rip doing?
He's good. Grace, I got a new puppy.
How's who?
His name's Rip.
Rip, like Rip.
Like Rip Roaring.
Rash Rock. What was
Rip Torn?
Oh, like Rip Torn?
That's what my mother said. Here, let me show you a picture of him.
Really?
Actually, there's a...
That's arcane.
A character on Yellowstone.
Oh.
He's He's cute, isn't he?
Isn't he beautiful?
There's a character on Yellowstone named Rip, and a friend of Chuck's had suggested the name, and we're like, yeah, that's kind of cool. And we had a couple others, and then we went out to pick him up, and we found out his mother's name is Ripley.
Oh.
Done.
That's a huge coincidence.
Another coincidence.
I know.
And you drove 16 hours.
Yeah, so it's the same line as our two previous dogs have been great.
I remember that one massive dog, the one who had the head that was like this big.
Oh, that was a different, his name was Red. Yeah, he was kind of, he was a wackadoodle.
Oh, okay.
So our last dogs, Finn and Tess, have been the same line. So we thought if we're going to go, if this is like the last hunting dog, you know, because we're getting up there. and it's a lot to train and takes a lot of work. So we got the word like on a Sunday and we ended up going out Friday. We flew out to Minneapolis, spent the night with a friend from college, and then we rented a car, packed the puppy in the car, and drove east. Yeah, it's about 17 hours.
That's a long drive.
It was a long drive.
How did he do in the car?
He was great.
Yeah.
One of us sat back with him and kind of kept him occupied, and he slept a lot, but he was only 8 weeks at the time, so he was great.
Wow.
He sleeps through the night.
That's good news.
There's nothing worse than hearing, oh, in the middle of the night. So,
oh, my God.
Yeah, he's been good.
I can't do 16 hours anymore.
I've never done that. I've never done that longer ride.
Yeah, I think my longest was 13.
It's highly overrated.
Yeah.
Yeah, I hate driving. I hate driving 20 minutes. I've never liked driving.
I don't mind it. I just drove to see my mother last weekend. It was 4 hours. You know, that's doable.
Yeah. Two or three is fine.
Does your mother live on like the Upper West Side?
No, she's not in New York anymore. She's in the Berkshires.
Oh.
She moved there before COVID.
So what town is she in?
Lenox, where Tanglewood is.
Oh, that's nice. Mm-hmm. Does she go there for performances and stuff?
Yeah, you know, because of her advanced age, she gets to go to all kinds of performances for like nothing. They go see rehearsals, they see up and comings, they go in the afternoons.
Nice.
Yeah, they have all these. Yeah, so she's over there all the time.
Norman Rockwell Museum.
Yes, the Norman Rockwell Museum. And James Taylor lives up there too.
So. I hate James Taylor.
Oh, I'm sorry.
That's all right. I just know so many people who love him and they're like, oh, James Taylor. I'm like, most boring performer ever. I'm just not a fan.
Have you seen him live?
No.
He's very...
Because I wouldn't.
Right. Sorry. Look on her face.
I would never see James Taylor live.
He's very fun live. He tells really good... He's got good stories, good sense of humor. Yeah.
That's cool.
Mr. Homespun.
Yeah. Homespun heroin addict.
Yeah.
I had a note that related something here. Oh. New York Times... Technology is making life harder for serial killers. In 1987, law enforcement was tracking 198 serial killers.
Oof.
In 2018, there were just 12. Part of it is that serial killers are better at hiding, so some of them are getting away with it, but mostly is that it's harder to hide. We've built a whole entertainment industry on serial killer stories, and now there aren't that many of them.
Well, it took a while to find that Long Island guy.
Yeah, he was creepy, too.
So why is it never women?
Very occasionally is. But why are shooters never women?
Well, that's it. And I've never been flashed by a woman.
God.
Maybe you should have been doing breast exams. Cutting.
Maybe I need to go other places. But, you know, you're saying you have to be worried about half the population. Why? Why isn't the both halves of the population equally messed up or predatory or...
Testosterone.
Like the kids jumping off the buildings and stuff.
Right, exactly.
There's no videos of girls jumping up.
Or skateboarding at 20,000 feet.
Yeah,
you know?
So you don't have those impulses. So you should have some sympathy for us.
Is that where this whole thing was going?
That's where I'm trying to push this.
Okay.
Give me a break.
Yeah.
That's a cheap shot there. I did read actually a story yesterday about a female serial killer drugging guys. She was in the gut. Well, she was attracting people for sex, and then she'd give them fentanyl or something and steal their possessions, and then they die.
Was that in Asia?
No, I think I want to say it was in It was in Canada, maybe. I can't remember where. Yeah, so there you go. They're out there.
Yeah, they are. But I guess what I'm trying to say is your problems with toxic masculinity have made you toxic feminists.
Whoa.
Say that again.
Whoa. Say that again. Whoa.
We better call Kayla.
Oh, my God.
It's time.
Oh, my God.
You know what? I hate on all the podcasts I listen to. Again and again, somebody writes in and they try to read the person's name and they apologize for not getting the name right.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry if I'm not saying your name right. Maybe you could write and let us know how you pronounce it. Who cares? Why? How can you be expected to pronounce every name in the world?
So don't apologize. When I watch the news and I'm always amazed, or listening to the news, and I'm always amazed at how well the broadcasters pronounce the names of, you know, Middle Easterners or, you know, the Chinese or whatever. And I wonder if they practice it, you know, 10 to 12 times before the broadcast.
No, it's all phonetic.
Not always. Not always.
I mean, what I've seen in the scripts, they like write it out as phonetic.
Oh, okay. That makes sense. So on the teleprompter, it says Brezhnev, right. Okay, cool.
In my department, like we have in our school, we have a lot of people from different countries, right? And so there's this one woman that I work with who's from Nigeria originally. She's got a 5-syllable name. And, you know, her boss started calling her this just nickname of 2 syllables. And she's like, no, I don't use that. So you have to use all 5 syllables. And,
right,
you know, the student assistant that I have, she has a 4-syllable name. It's Indian. And it has like a little roll of the R's in it. And I'm like, oh, can I shorten this? But I don't, you know, because she does not use a shortened version of it, you know.
Be like somebody calling you Gray.
Yeah. That's my mother. Gray. She calls me up. Gray, it's your mom. Well, I know it's you, mom.
Hey, mom can do that. She can call you whatever she wants. People shorten my name all the time.
People mess up your name?
They shorten up my name.
Did you say?
They shorten my name.
Oh, shorten it. I thought you said mess it up. I was like, how?
Well, people spell it wrong all the time.
They call you Bay? Like Beyonce?
So my family used to always call me, they still do, Bail, Bayl. And so that's something that I've, you know, I grew up with. And then I went to college with a girl. I played volleyball with her and she called me Bay. And it's the very first time anyone ever called me that. And now I know someone else who calls me that. She just shortened it on her own. No one else ever called me that in front of her. And she just shortens my name to Bay. All right. It's weird. Gray.
Where does Boomer come from?
Oh, gosh. That's Rick Harrington. That was from when we played softball at Buck and Plein. We had the softball team. And one of the first times I was up a bat, I whacked it out in the outfield. Oh. He's like, whoa, look at that. He really boomed that ball. And then from then on, he called me Boomer.
So there was a Buck and Plein reunion.
Yeah, I didn't.
I heard. Did you go, Bailey?
I was out of town, so I didn't go. And I haven't gotten the scoop yet from anybody.
I mean, it's just so weird to see all these faces, and they're all gray and wrinkled now, you know? And I remember reading something once that, you know, like, everyone thinks they look better than everyone else their age. And in reality, they all look just like those people, you know?
Right.
That's what I was thinking. I'm like, look at what I'm sitting there thinking. And of course, I'm gray and I have wrinkles, you know? I look the same.
Yeah, you still don't think of yourself that way, though.
No, you really don't.
What, is gray and wrinkled?
Yeah, I mean, I see myself in the mirror and I go like, what? That's my grandfather.
Also, that's what happens when I sit with my mother. I look at her and I'm like, okay, let's fast forward 30 years and that's me.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure.